Mother's Day, just around the corner. Call Kuhn Flowers and send mom a beautiful floral arrangement. She'll love it and she'll love you. This is Dan Hicken, and Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I'll get up in front of the team when we get everybody together, and I'll tell them it really doesn't matter how you've gotten here. You know, whether you were acquired from a free agent, whether you were drafted, whether you've been on this team, whether you've been here for 5 years, whether you were drafted last year, we're all going to work and we have to earn our keep. And I truly believe that, and we have to go to work and we have to start building this team, and I'm excited for it.
They've got to start making plans for no Calais Campbell. They're not going to have Marcel Darius possibly after this year. Well, Taven Bryan, they don't really know what they have in him either.
Because even if the Jags take Nick Foles, at some point they're going to give him a quarterback.
I don't want to see Juwan Taylor at 7.
Every time I saw this guy play, he dominated. And that's Dexter Lawrence.
I think it'll be right tackle, just because I don't feel like, I don't see how they could have any confidence in what Will Richardson is yet.
With all due respect to Isaac Fulco and Greg Estandia and Ben Koyak and some of the other Jaguar great tight ends, it's time to get the best tight end in Jaguars history. It's time to get a guy who we think is going to grow with our program. It's time to get TJ Hockenson.
Who are you drafting tonight, Sean?
Somebody really, really good. Who's going to help us win the Super Bowl? That's who we're drafting.
With the 7th pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars select.
Live from TIAA Bank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Tony Smith and Mike DeRocco.
Whoo, as if I couldn't be any more hyped for a couple things going on there, Emmanuel.
That is the first, only, and I hope to God last time that I'm a part of any kind of hype build-up or whatever, hype reel or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, that was excellent. And he had the Avengers music going in there, too. That was the Endgame trailer music going in that one as well. So, yeah, it's all working together as here we are, months and months of discussion, and it's draft night, buddy. It's draft night. We are here
finally.
The first round. We don't have to keep talking about what will they do. We'll be talking about what they have done in just a matter of hours. Mike Dempsey will join us on his way up to Nashville here in a few minutes as well. We'll get his last prediction on what he expects to happen with tonight's draft. I was talking about what Tony Pauline had to say when he was on with us yesterday. And Tony Pauline, I thought, pointed out a couple of interesting things. One, we asked him about T.J. Hockenson specifically. And the question I asked him was, do you think T.J. Hockenson is special? And he said, no. I think that he's a talented, athletic guy, and then you hear some comparisons, like if you talk about draft grades, I heard the boys this morning talking about it, his draft grade is basically the same as what O.J. Howard's was. You know, like it's that kind of thing, and so I don't know how realistic any of that is, right? Like I don't know what the Jaguars have him on their board, that kind of thing, but at least Tony Pauline yesterday said that. The bigger thing that we got out of the Tony Pauline conversation was he said there are some medical red flags with Juwan Taylor.
Yeah, and that's the first I've heard of that.
Right, and that would explain maybe in some ways why we've seen a lot of teams moving off Juwan Taylor to the Jags at 7 here in the last couple weeks. It does feel like more and more what you're seeing mocked to the Jags at 7 is T.J. Hockenson.
Yeah, that's the hot thing right now for sure. And you know, you mentioned and talked back that, you know, was I still on the Hockenson thing? Absolutely. If I were making the pick, I probably would take Hockenson. I didn't do that on the ESPN NFL Nation mock draft.
No, you didn't.
No, which was fine because, you know, I would like to go back and find out, and I don't know if we could do this, but over the last 5 to 10 years, like, has there been a year where it's been as much all over the place for the Jags in terms of projections? Because it was Juwan Taylor, it was T.J. Hockenson. There's been some Jonah Williams there. Remember early it was, you know, if the Giants pass on Haskins, it might be Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
There were some Drew Locke mocks for the Jaguars
early,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's been all over the place. So, yeah, I went with Montez Sweat the other night because we're supposed to do what we think the team will do. And you know, who knows with the draft tonight? I still think Montez Sweat's going to be a phenomenal player.
I could see it. I do wonder how they feel about the medical stuff. Like, I don't know if it scares them at all.
Yeah, he's not off their draft board because of the medicals. Okay. I know that. I know that. Okay. So, but then who knew about the Taylor medicals? And he wasn't specific in terms of, like, was it a knee, a back, or...
I don't think he got into the specifics of it.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Well, then, I mean, that's a concern, obviously, if that's the case. But and I just go back to the positional value of right tackle. And I know with the Jags, and if they take a right tackle, I guarantee you we'll hear this sentence tonight that's like, well, you know, you got to deal with J.J. Watt. You got to deal with all the pass rushers coming from that. So blah, you know, I mean, so I get it. I just don't know that it's a positional. The value of the right tackle position at seven is there. For me,
mm-hmm.
And if you think like I do that T.J. Hockenson can be special or will be special, then it's a no-brainer at seven for me.
There's an easy way around the right tackle discussion there at seven. Take a left tackle,
right? You know, like, yeah, but we talked about that before. Now, what are you asking Cam Robinson to do? He's coming back from a torn ACL. We mm-hmm. all know that that's really not those guys don't most guys don't recover fully for a year. He's not going to do much in the offseason program. He's not going to do much during camp. I can't imagine he's going to play much during the preseason, a little bit to kind of get him going, but late in the preseason. And you're going to throw all that on top of, yeah, you got to learn the right tackle position.
I'm fine with it. like honestly,
maybe,
I'm fine with
maybe.
It.
Maybe. But I would think that if they would take Jonah Williams tonight, that's probably what they're going to do. Or they'll sit there and say, you know what, Jonah, you're going to play right tackle this year, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do next year.
Yeah, and I think if it were – if you're making the evaluation on the players and you evaluate them and you say Jonah Williams is a better offensive lineman than Juwan Taylor, then I don't take Juwan Taylor because he plays right tackle.
Right.
That's certainly not going to be the reason I do that if offensive line is going to be the direction I go. If I think Andre Dillard is the best offensive lineman in this draft and he's the highest rated guy that I have on my board when I'm picking, then I'm taking Andre Dillard.
Right.
You know, like I'm not taking him because of whatever position they play because Cam Robinson wasn't playing well enough when he was playing last year to earn – some right to not be tested
correct.
In that kind of way.
But here's the thing, too. What we don't know about these players and what nobody knows except the teams is what their projection is for those guys. Like,
no.
Do they feel like Juwan Taylor has a higher ceiling for Jonah than Jonah Williams? They feel like, you know what, we get Juwan Taylor in here, we get him on a weight program, you know, he's really athletic, we like his upper body strength, we can kind of get him a little bit better technically. He's got a bigger ceiling or a higher ceiling than Jonah Williams, who may be as good as he's going to get. You know, you don't know. And a lot of that's the thing that people forget about in this draft stuff is, you know, you're not just drafting on production. You're drafting on what you project these guys will be. And that's the part that, you know, it's easy for all these analysts and for all of us to turn on the tape and look at it and say, ooh, wow, look at that. That's fantastic. But really, it's the guys and the coaches and the rest of those, you know, personnel executives with the teams to sit there and figure out, okay, that's great. Where does he go from there?
Yeah, look, and that's why it's not easy.
Right, that's why people miss all the damn time.
Right, and college football athletes are difficult to project to what they're going to be most of the right. time in the National Football League. There are some guys where it's like you can see it. There's no doubt about what they're going to be. I mean, Andrew Luck was a no-doubter.
Right.
Like, every now and then there's that type of guy. It does feel like every year when we're getting into a draft, some middle linebacker is that guy. It's like, this is the safest pick in the draft. Right now it's Devin White and Devin Bush. People love him.
Nick Bosa is probably a pretty safe pick.
Bosa's
too,
right there too, right? Yeah. Like those, but usually it's a linebacker. And it's funny, people talk about, you know, the year they took Jalen Ramsey and, you know, Miles Jack with the knee injury was talked about as being one of those guys. And I was like, oh, yeah, linebacker. Like, there's always a linebacker that people talk about that way.
And Josh Allen.
Yeah. There's always at least one, right? And usually it's a guy that may project as a middle linebacker because for whatever reason, NFL teams convince themselves this is a safe pick, right? And I think comparing the safety of a pick at middle linebacker to the safety of a pick at guard is often different because of the importance of a position.
Right.
Right? So you fall in love with the best middle linebacker in the draft and you say, safest prospect in the draft. Now, a guard may be just as safe, but outside of Quentin Nelson, you're usually not going to draft a guard.
Right.
They're at number
very
five.
Very high, yeah, exactly.
In
exactly.
an NFL draft, yeah, and that's part of the Jonah Williams discussion, too, is that I know Daniel Jeremiah still lists him as an offensive guard. Like, when he lists him on his list, he lists Jonah Williams as an offensive guard. A team, if they're going to pick him that high, I'm guessing is drafting him to at least see if he can play left tackle.
Yeah, I mean, if the Jaguars, the Jaguars have no desire to play him at guard, I would
certainly
imagine.
Not.
No, I mean, if that's the plan, then there's some really major issues going on at the stadium. But yeah, you know, it's so fun, you know, to sit there. For me, just you read all the experts, and it's too much now. It's draft overload. It really, really is. And the bottom line, when you – and we've talked about it before, nobody outside these teams knows anything.
Nope.
And any information that they get in the last month before the draft, or any information that gets out in the last month before the draft, I grain of salt. And I'm not convinced Kyler Murray is the number one pick. Until that name's up there, I am not – like, I'm not even 75% sure that he's really going to be the number one pick.
I still think it's likely that he is, but
– yeah, likely, but I'm not convinced.
I'm not totally – like, I'm with you. It's not like I'm locked in that it's got to be Kyler Murray to that spot. Mike Dempsey will join us next as he's on his way up there to Nashville for the NFL draft, and we'll get his final thoughts on what he thinks is going to happen as we are just hours away from the first round of the NFL draft. I'll be back this afternoon, by the way, with the Frangie show. So I'll be on from 3 to 7.
All Tony all the time.
Probably annoying TJ Hawkinson fans for that 4 hours, too. So I try to throw a wet blanket on that parade coming into the draft. I'm really not trying to dampen anyone's enthusiasm. Just trying to discuss the position and the value there compared to the other guys they might be able to draft. So Mike Dempsey will join us next. Mike DeRocco joining me here. It is draft day, Thursday, round one of the NFL draft. Jaguars pick 7th tonight. Tony Smith, Mike DeRocco here with you. Mike Dempsey joins us next here on 1010XL.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at TIAA Bank Field, this is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tony Smith, Mike DeRocco here with you, joined now by Mike Dempsey, who's on his way up to Nashville for the first round of the NFL draft tonight. Mike, we have to stop the hype here in a couple hours. We're going to have a guy to talk about as opposed to a bunch of guys to maybe talk about in just a little bit of time.
Yeah, mercifully so. By the way, I have to say it's great to be a guest on Jaguars Today. It's a show I've been meaning to get on for weeks now, Tony, as you know, and I finally have had the opportunity here. So, I think we're all ready. Just have a name. One name, so we can all tell everybody how smart they are or how dumb they are, at least for tomorrow, and then we'll have six more by Monday.
Yeah, so what's the name? What is the gut telling Mike Dempsey the name is going to be?
I think if one of the top defensive lineman is there, I think they're going to take him. Now, what is a top defensive lineman? I don't know if Josh Allen is in their mind, but like on their board, I could see that certainly Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Ed Oliver, I think any of those guys would be, the likely pick for the Jags at this point in my mind. I mean, I've been going back and forth like we all have between that and offensive tackle. And so if it's not the defensive line, I think it is going to be offensive tackle or their preference. Who that is, I don't know. You know, is Jonah Williams the apple of their eye? Is it Andre Dillard? Is it Juwan Taylor? Or are they going to be a TJ Hawkinson team? Or could they trade down? So, yes, I know nothing more than I did the last time I talked to you. That's what it feels like anyway, you know?
Yeah, it really is difficult to parse through all the information. We had Tony Pauline on yesterday who said there are some medical red flags with Juwan Taylor, which got me off that spot a little bit, potentially with the Jags, though he didn't go into detail over exactly what those red flags might have been, but said some teams are concerned about some red flags and said that he knows the Jags like Jonah Williams. So, okay, if you want to connect those kind of dots,
you can. You're hearing a lot more about that, right? You've been seeing that in mock drafts and things and speculation that Jonah Williams could be the pick. I don't think TJ Hawkinson is out of the realm of possibility because, you know, if they feel like he's an elite former or a future all-pro type player, you know, they've often talked about in the Dave Caldwell era, they want great players. They don't want good players. They'd rather stick and pick one potentially great guy than three good ones if they trade down. So if they see him as being that kind of a difference maker, no matter what position he plays, I think you consider him, but particularly because he's considered to be a consensus, I'll be generous and conservative and say a top 15 player, and you're picking 7th, it's a position of need. I think all those things make sense.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, D-Rock.
How are you?
Well, legend has it, you and I see each other every once in a while. Right. I'm doing well, though.
That's good. Listen, here's my question. we get talking to about the draft, and we say the positional value, it's too high for that position. You know, I don't know, would they take a tackle that high? Would they take a tight end that high? But isn't the bottom line, if you think the guy's going to be a great player and it's going to be a Pro Bowler, don't you just throw that out the window? Like, if they think that Juwan Taylor is going to be a Pro Bowler, then what does it matter if you take him at 7 or 14? Same thing
I
with
agree.
Hawkinson.
Look, you're right. Look, how many years can you go back, probably after the first round, and look back and say, okay, this guy, or after the first season's played out of these players, say, okay, you know what, if I knew that guard at 22 was going to be as good as he was, I would have taken him at 8, or whatever, something like
right.
that. So I don't think there are that many positions that are completely ruled out of the equation if you really think a guy's going to be a great player. Yes, I agree.
And I do wonder, too, you know, trying to determine what the heck they're going to do with this pick, and you talk about defensive linemen because that's generally where the value is. On the lines of scrimmage, the question becomes, how deep is the list of guys along that defensive line that you think are premier prospects before you start considering some of these other positions, especially a position like tight end? Like, how deep is that list? I mean, for me, it probably stops with Ed Oliver. Right, like that's probably around the range. When we had our mock draft on Tuesday, Demps, it was the situation that Dan Hicken was put in where 5 defensive guys came off the board after Kyler Murray. Yeah, I think I would be okay with Hawkinson in that particular situation. It was if one of those 5 guys was available, that would be the list of guys that I hope the Jags go get.
Yeah, and look, again, it's going to come down to we have no idea really how their board is stacked at this particular time. You know, and Tony Pauline says, you know, the Jaguars like Jonah Williams. Do they? I don't know. You know, I'm not knocking Tony. I mean, we have him on because we like his analysis, but, you know, how do people know who the Jaguars like? Do they try to put tea leaves together because they visit with a guy, or is he a, quote, Coughlin guy? Because, you know, it's all about character this offseason. It's always been about character with Tom Coughlin. You know what I mean? People are, I think, making a comment that he made about Jalen Ramsey and Telvin Smith not being at an OTA and blowing that up into, well, maybe they better draft Jonah Williams because he's the team captain kind of guy at Alabama. I really don't know where that's coming from. I think if they like Josh Allen a lot, I think there's still a chance that Dwayne Haskins goes ahead of him. So if you have 2 quarterbacks that do go ahead of him, and you've got Ed Oliver, Nick Bosa, in no particular order, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, what, that's 4 guys right there. Those guys would almost all have to be gone to have the scenario you talked about. You could still have that where Dan Hicken took T.J. Hawkinson, but I'd be fine if they went Hawkinson there, but I'd also be fine if they said, you know what, we like Brian Burns, or name the other, or Cleveland Farrell out of Clemson, and in fact, we had him higher than one of the other 2 guys that went right in front of him. We just can't know, and we're not going to know, I don't think, until they make that pick tonight.
Yeah, and here's the thing. How much do you really think character concerns do weigh in for them? Because, look, he took R.J. Soward. He wanted to draft Lawrence Phillips. Let's remember that, too. Way back in the day, he wanted to draft Lawrence Phillips. Has that burned him enough to not take a chance on a guy that may have some slight character issues?
Yeah, I don't even know if character versus football character, Mike. You know, maybe I'm not using the right phrase, you know, more the gung-ho guys who are perceived to be Coughlin guys. I you know, I don't know how big of a deal that is. I don't know that there's any reason I wouldn't draft any of the guys that we're talking about because of that, or, you know, would or would not draft any of the guys that we're talking about because of that. So you're right. And maybe he has been burned in the past enough times to realize, you know, you need to be a little bit conservative. But I think everybody eventually, when it's time to win, teams roll the dice when teams are under pressure. Look at Gene Smith. After years of bad drafting, he finally said, you know what, I'm even going to go the route of a guy with questionable character, and it blew up in his face. So teams do funny things when there's pressure to win in the short term, which there is with Jacksonville tonight.
Sure. Are there any of the names that we've been talking about, you know, over and over for the last couple months that you'd have to talk yourself the most into it if it was the name called tonight at 7?
I've never loved the Juwan Taylor thing just because I never had heard from Gator fans and media that he was, you know, supposedly this elite, super elite performer. I think Mike will tell you that as well. He knows the Gators a lot more than I do. So, you know, look, a guy like that might be like, you know, I don't want a Montez Sweat at this point. There seem to be enough question marks with his health and durability and things like that. Rashawn Gary's been a guy that has long been off of both of our interest lists with the 3.5 sacks last year. Don't tell me just about potential. You know, this is a team that needs immediate production out of the 7th pick in this draft. Now, immediate production, if you draft a pass rusher, it's not going to be like you're going to insert him in the starting lineup, but we know the value of having more than just the two starters at that position. I do think visiting with Corey Legit is interesting. Right? Like are they just checking in with him? Is this a sign that, you know what, we want to find out how good he is? What if we're going to try to make a move for defensive tackle, or I say a move, what if we're going to try to select one and the right one's not there? Is Legion a fallback guy? He's a guy who's been a really good player, obviously coming off some significant injuries. So, you know, we don't know how they feel about Taven Bryan after 1 year in the system. They're not going to tell you these things. So, none of the names, I guess the names that I threw out there, Sweat, Josh Allen scares me a little bit, but the production in the SEC was so good that I think that, okay, you know, I could see that 17 sack guy if he comes here. You know, I think the defensive tackles just feel a little bit safer to me, as do the offensive tackles for the most part, with the exception of Taylor, who I've never just felt like is worthy of the 7th overall pick.
It is interesting, given that if they were to select, say, defensive tackle or a right tackle, it is them readdressing a position that they addressed in the draft last year. Like, it's not ancient history. It would be readdressing something that they did last year. And
admitting a mistake.
Yeah, and you wonder if they're going to do it that quickly with either of those spots, even if they're in position to significantly upgrade it with the position they're in, picking number 7.
Well, I think it's a difference between taking a defensive tackle when you took one in the first round and saying we took a flyer on Will Richardson in round 4 and let's see what he can develop into. So to me, that doesn't mean Will Richardson is a bust. Like, if you went with a guy like Jonah Williams, maybe he can prove to be a left tackle in the National Football League. And then, you know, hey, Cam, we got a battle on our hands here and we can really strengthen this offensive line. You know, I don't think you can worry about it at this point. You know, somebody the other day said to me they shouldn't have to draft the defensive line. I don't care what they should or should not have to do at this point. Tell me the situation that they're actually in. We know where they're at in terms of guys that have left, in terms of big contracts that are coming up in a year. And as much as we want to say this pick is just about this year, it can't just be about this year. If you take Ed Oliver, some of that is with an eye towards the fact that Marcel Darius is probably not on this football team next year.
Well, lock it in, Mike. What do the Jags do at 7?
Oh, can you tell me who's on the board at least?
You can lock those in too.
All right, I'll say they go offensive line. How about that?
Okay.
I don't feel strongly about it.
It sounds like you would not want to be Juwan Taylor.
I don't know why. I don't. It's more just like Jonah Williams for his entire collegiate career was talked up at least the last couple of years as maybe the best lineman in college football at times. And then you got Dillard, who's, you know, supposedly the best left tackle prospect, which is usually a much more valuable commodity. And I think they could use one on either side, honestly, because we don't know about Cam. And look, if they end up saying that they think Juwan Taylor's the best, I'll get behind it. I'm not a tape evaluator like they are, but it just seems like it came up rather quickly in the last few months that he is the top guy among all offensive linemen in this draft.
It certainly does. And look, he's a right tackle, so I guess that fits the open spot on this Jaguars offensive line. So 2 and 2 has been being put together for a while now. We'll see if that's how it actually works out. Mike, safe travels. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Let me just tell you one thing quickly. All right? I know this may sound strange. Okay, this is going to sound strange, but I've looked into the future. In fact, I've looked into all 14,605,000 possible futures for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think when we look back on Monday, we're going to say there was no other way this could have gone. Because, Tony, we're in the end game now.
The end game now, buddy. You better believe it. And if you try to spoil it at all for me, I will destroy you.
He already hung up. He left. He drops the mic.
We're in the end game now. Dempsey's out. As I know.
Wow, that got a little tense right there for a second with you.
He and I are, look, I knew where he was going with that. Like, as soon as he started, I knew exactly where we were in that moment, as he and I will both be trying to not step on any mines over the course of the next few days, especially
good
tonight
luck with that.
And into tomorrow. Yeah, I know. Good luck. Good luck. We're in the end game now. Just a few hours before we find out the Jags draft pick. Just a few hours before I find out what the end game is as well. with the rest of the world. That's Mike Dempsey. We'll join him again tomorrow as we'll be talking about who they did take as opposed to who they might take and getting ready for rounds 2 and 3 in the rest of the draft tomorrow and looking back at whatever the heck they're going to do in round one. Still looking ahead to round one for now, though. Mike DiRocco, Tony Smith here with you. We'll continue to get you set for the first round of the NFL draft tonight right here on 1010XL.
Safe and secure for all events, a covered pavilion, and clean and permanent restrooms. Enjoy a short walk to the stadium for every game this season. Book your parking space now online at tailgatersparking.com.
Happy new gear from Edwin Watts Golf, where we offer free custom club fitting on the hottest new arrivals. Featuring Callaway's new Epic Flash Woods, Apex Irons, and Odyssey Stroke Lab putters. Cobra's new King F9 Speedback Woods and F9 Speedback Irons. And Srixon's Forged Irons and Z-Star Balls. Make Edwin Watts Golf your one-stop shop for this year's hottest golf gear and accessories. Edwin Watts Golf, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee.
Commercial-grade performance at a residential price. The Kubota Z400 mower delivers on lawns of any size. With speeds up to 10 miles per hour and proven durability, it gets the job done faster and done right. For a limited time, get a Z400 mower for as low as $102 a month. Now through June 30th, 2019, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com. Coastal Equipment on New Kings Road, Jacksonville, and now also in McClenny. Coastal
Equipment. Instant Keys specializes in creating replacement or spare keys even when all the originals are lost or broken, covering nearly every vehicle make and model, including Mercedes, BMW, Volkswagen, Lexus, Cadillac, and so many more. With Instant Keys, you'll get dealer-level service without all the hassles at a fraction of the cost. For honest, professional automotive locksmith service, call the Key Pros at Instant Keys, 722-1111.
The hilarious Brian Regan, live from the Florida Theater. Text Brian to the text line driven by Duval Ford for a chance to win tickets to Brian Regan July 28th. Text Brian to 641-1010 now.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tony Smith, Mike DiRocco here with you. Thanks again to Mike Dempsey. As he and I are in the same kind of headspace there with the Dr. Strange sign-off as he took off there. As we are. We're just a day away from finding out what happens with Avengers Endgame as well. But more importantly, we won't discuss all the ins and outs of that. Let's discuss the ins and outs of the draft. And continue to distract me from the ins and outs of Endgame, potentially. Mike DiRocco, as we get set for the first round of the NFL draft tonight with... Look, I think it's an interesting question. We had our media mock draft on Tuesday, and Hickin was picking for the Jags, and the way that the board fell, four of those defensive linemen came off. Defensive linemen came off the board, and Devin White went to Tampa Bay, as a lot of people expect it to happen, right? But the New York Giants go in defensive line, and now you're sitting there going, who is the fifth lineman? Right now, like, if you're going to go defensive line, who is the fifth lineman at this point? Because I throw Ed Oliver into that group of the premier guys.
Right.
So the three premier guys and Ed Oliver. So there's your four. So who's the fifth guy? And trying to figure out, do I like the fifth guy more than I like getting help on the offensive line or the opportunity to draft a pass catcher like TJ Hockenson? And I think it's a really interesting debate, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's the spot the Jags are going to be put in at 7 tonight.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, too, is let's not forget, it's not just a pass catcher. He helps your run game, too. He is regarded as the best blocker. Regarded as a very good blocker. So even if you don't take that tackle, you're still boosting that run game a little bit with TJ Hockenson. And let's be honest. You look at that 2017 team, and this is the way I kind of approached it a little bit the other night. was at an average to slightly above average offensive line, right? I mean, that's what we'd call it. I mean, pretty much.
Sure.
With a healthy Leonard Fournette and you know, he was a 1,000-yard rusher, sure. Missed two games.
And Mercedes Lewis and James O'Shaughnessy playing tight end.
Exactly. The right tackle was Jeremy Parnell. He was average to slightly above average NFL player. That defensive line, man, was a freaking beast, and it was Calais, and it was Malik, and, you know, by the end of the season, it was Marcel Darius, and Yannick had a phenomenal year. Man, they just rolled wave after wave of pass rusher at you, and that's, if you can do that, great. But it, on the flip side, man, Hockenson helps you in two ways, and if you're drafting him thinking we're going to get 116 catches, like Zach Ertz did last year, just because DeFilippo and because Foles are here, I think you'll probably end up being disappointed. But if you're drafting him to say, you know, we can get 40 to 50 catches out of him, and he can make an impact in the run game, especially down there around the goal line, and especially maybe give us a couple of instances where we can get him in a mismatch situation outside, then yeah, then it's worth grabbing him and just plugging him in and going. And that's the thing about him. You'll be able to just plug him in, and you're not going to have to. If you draft Jonah Williams, you're going to have to figure out, is he going to play right? Is he going to play left? Can we do this? What do we need to deal with? Plug him in and go. Just go.
Yeah, I think the whole discussion is interesting from the perspective of, not surprised at all that Jaguars fans are glomming on to the most high-profile skill position player,
sure,
that people have been talking about for months. Like, that's right. Generally
and I,
what's going to happen.
Him from, I'm not glad
now.
Yeah, I liked him from
before.
No, I
understand.
So I said I would take, yeah.
I'm not even saying it's crazy, right? I just, the more and more we discuss it and closer we get to the draft, my thinking was, it's a tight end, right? Like, it's a tight end. And everyone points out, well, what about Travis Kelce and all these other teams? And I'm like, well, they have a quarterback. And generally speaking, a lot of these teams figure out what they're doing on the offensive line before they address tight end. Right? Like,
right.
There is a hierarchy to what teams generally do to get themselves in that kind of position. People bring up Zach Ertz all the time. Again, the year they took Zach Ertz is the year that they took Lane Johnson,
right,
in the first round. They didn't take Travis Kelce in the first round. They took their right tackle in the first round. And they took Lane Johnson to play right tackle because they already had Jason Peters to play left.
And here's why I don't think they'll take him, because it's a deep draft of tight ends.
Yes.
And you can get guys at the second and third round and second level of tight ends that they, you know, because I think everyone generally regards Irv Smith,
mm-hmm,
Hockenson, and Fant as the top three, give or take.
Sure.
You know, you can get guys below that. And the question you have to ask yourself,
it's deep
too,
in the middle.
Yes.
Like, there's a bunch of guys that have that third to fifth, right, round grade, a bunch.
The question you have to ask, and the thing that we don't consider a lot of, is you go, okay, can we get, if we take Hockenson, can we get decent value at offensive tackle in the second or third round? Is that, or do we have to take the tackle because there's not a lot of depth to that spot and there's much, much more value with second and third round tight ends? That's the other thing about the draft that you have to factor in. Because you're not just making one pick.
No.
I mean, that's what we all talk about. Like, I got an argument with Mark Long from AP about who they should take and all this stuff. He said, well, if you don't take that, they got to take the tackle. And I'm like, we're arguing like this, and your thing is like, I say if they don't take the tackle at seven, you're just assuming that they're not going to take a tackle again. Like, you got to take the tackle because they won't take another one.
Mm-hmm.
They can address these positions a little later. I just, you know, that's why I don't think they'll take Hockenson. And I might be wrong, but there's better value at tight end in the middle guys, like you said, second, third round guys, than there would be, I think, at offensive tackle.
Yeah, I'm not sure where I am and what I think they'll do, right? Like, I'm really...
Nobody is, yeah.
Like
yeah.
I'm really cloudy on what I think they would do. I have a better idea of what I would do. You know, given the situation, again, I'm not a scout, and I'm not the one that's watching and breaking down a bunch of film on these guys, right?
Right, and we never pretend to be.
No, yeah. But I do think NFL is quarterback, line of scrimmage. Like, those are the two things that you build, and then you build it out from there. And there are teams that, there is a reason people compare T.J. Hockenson to Gronk. Guys, he's not Gronk.
No.
Like, get that out of your head.
Nobody's Gronk.
Right. Gronk is a generational tight end. Like, no one else is going to be exactly what Gronk was. And, look, I do think there is something to, when you go back and read about Kelce and Ertz, when they were coming into the league, if you go back and look at their scouting reports on those guys, one of the things they did talk about with them a lot was they help you in the blocking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're never going to have to take them off the field because you feel like we're in a passing situation. Let's get Kelce out there. From the very beginning, it was Kelce is a willing and capable blocker. The athleticism is interesting. Like, that's what they were saying about Kelce
right.
when he was coming into the league. And by the way, he had comparisons to Rob Gronkowski too.
And yeah.
Baby Gronk.
Yeah.
I mean, he got that nickname really early on in the draft process, and he's a third-round pick, right? I think there is something to the value of the position. And I hear people say all the time, well, it's more valuable than it's ever been. I was listening to the drill this morning go through, like, the best rookie years for tight ends in NFL history, and it was a bunch of guys who played 40 and 50 years ago. And I'm like, all right, where is the value growing? Again, I'm not saying that it's not valuable. I'm saying if you're going to be average at any of the 22 positions on a football team, right? Like, if you're only going
to
be
pretty
average,
close to the top of the list.
Tight end is really, really high on that list. And it's not that it's you avoid trying to get good or great at that position. It's you don't ignore getting better or potentially great on the defensive line or the offensive line to get really good at tight end. That's generally not how NFL teams are built, which is why the tight end thing, I wouldn't be against it. I still feel like they're likely to go another direction because they're in a position to help the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and I will say this as an argument not to take the tight end a little bit. You look at the Super Bowl, okay, Gronk was a massive part of that team and a massive part of that offense, a massive part of that game plan. Did you notice the Rams tight ends? With the Rams, I mean, if the Patriots didn't have Gronk.
No, Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee are okay.
They're just guys. They're just guys. If the Pats didn't have Gronk last year, they don't get to that Super Bowl.
No.
No chance. If they didn't have Everett and Higbee, do the Rams still get to the Super Bowl? Well, probably. I mean, it's a much easier case to take those two guys out of the offense. But here's the thing. If you think TJ Hockenson can be elite, like I said with Dempsey, if you think this guy's going to be, you think he's going to be the next three or four Pro Bowl or tight end that makes three or four Pro Bowls, then take him because it's hard to find. Look, they haven't had a lot of luck finding those kind of guys.
No,
at any position.
No.
So if you think you've got a Pro Bowler on your hand, and maybe the argument is, well, wait a minute, they haven't found any, so why do we trust them to make the evaluation that he will be? And that's a whole totally separate argument. But if you're the Jags, you think he's going to be a three or four Pro Bowl guy over the next 5-6 years, go for it.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, with the way people talk about, well, Nick Foles always had a tight end and Zach Ertz, and they draft Goddard. They do these different things up there in Philadelphia. And, look, I'm not debating what Philadelphia's plan was and how comfortable Nick Foles clearly was throwing to tight ends in that offense. I also don't necessarily think Nick Foles can't function
right
in an offense if you don't give him that type of player. Like, I think it helps him. Of course it helps
what
him.
What quarterback
can't help but help
wouldn't
him.
Be comfortable throwing
sure.
to Zach Ertz?
But he's also playing behind Lane Johnson.
Right.
You know, like, he's playing behind Jason Peters. He's got an offensive line in front of him that is built up as well and one of the better offensive minds in football. Like, there was a lot that was working in Nick Foles' favor. It wasn't as simple as, well, he had Zach Ertz. Yeah, he had Zach Ertz, and they took full advantage of having a Zach Ertz.
Right.
They also also had an Alshon Jeffrey and an offensive line. Like, there were a lot of things that were working in that Philadelphia offense under Nick Foles. I think a lot of people want to simplify it down to, well, he had a tight end. Yeah, he did. He had a lot. You know, there was a lot going on there. It's not as simple as he had Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. There's a lot more to it than that. We'll see. Like, the tight end thing, again, it's the value of it at 7. And I thought it was interesting when they were looking at the grades for these guys that T.J. Hockenson had the same grade as O.J. Howard. And I'm not saying that O.J. Howard isn't a decent player. I think he is. And
but
I think
he's not a first round. I mean, he's not worth a 7th overall pick.
I think it makes sense for him to be drafted around 20, which is around where O.J. Howard went.
Yeah.
You know, with foregoing the opportunity to draft, if you feel good about these linemen, doesn't make much sense to me, especially with the MO that Tom Coughlin has. Like, that's the direction I'm leaning with what I think they would do, too, because it's certainly what I would do. Like I've said, Ed Oliver, if Ed Oliver is available,
grab him.
I don't think Roger Goodell would be ready for how fast I'd be throwing that card at him if he happened to be available.
Let me ask you this. What's the pick, whether it be a position or a player, that they could make at seven where you would go, they blew that? What's the pick?
Sean Gary.
That's pretty good. Yeah, because that's kind of who I was.
Yeah, Rashawn Gary. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's a realistic possibility because of the labrum thing on top of everything else. I think he's likely, maybe not off the board, but I think he's far enough down the board that it's not a serious consideration. I think among the names that we've talked about, blow the pick.
Well, it doesn't have to be necessarily a specific player. Like, to me, I think if they grab a quarterback there, I would go, ooh, wait a minute. That now you have no help. You're getting nothing out of your first round pick this year.
It is
probably next year or the third year. Although you can make it, and I did, you can make a compelling argument for them to take one. But for this regime, which may or may not be here next year, that probably wouldn't be the best idea.
No, I think there's virtually no chance they do it. I do. If the Jags hadn't been the team that landed Nick Foles, I do wonder what the conversation is about the Giants pick at six throughout this entire process. If there was a team at seven that everyone knew was going to be circling quarterback.
Right.
Right? Like, I think it changes a lot in the top 10 that Nick Foles landed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Because I don't think the Giants are sitting there going, well, maybe we can wait and see what happens. They're at number six, at least not nearly as much as they are right now.
And if you're a team coming from behind to try and trade up to get a quarterback, you don't have to jump into the top six.
No.
In fact, you probably, because what, 8-9? The Lions aren't taking a quarterback. Who's nine? I can't even remember who's nine.
Green Bay?
No, Green Bay's 12, I thought. But and you don't have to jump into
Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo's not taking a quarterback either. So you don't even have to move up that high if you definitely want to get one, unless you're worried about, well, maybe someone will make the Jags an offer that's way, way better. But theoretically, you don't have to move up as high. Once they landed Foles, that should have made you feel a little bit better that, okay, we don't have to maybe give as much up if we want to move up.
Sure. And I think from a Jaguars perspective, it would be nice if the Giants would cooperate and take a quarterback. And it would push one more of those defensive linemen potentially down to them and be a whole lot closer to the premier spot. Like, it would be nice if Tampa Bay and New York would cooperate. And Tampa Bay would take Devin White, because I don't think the Jags are going linebacker,
right.
And the New York Giants would go whatever quarterback, Dwayne Haskins. They're number six, and Kyler Murray has gone one, because now you're sitting there going, yay, we get a premier guy.
Right.
Like, it's just whichever of the premier guys is left to you. And that's,
I mean, they don't have to take Haskins, take Locke. Take Drew Locke. It
and
doesn't
that's
matter
when,
anybody.
History tells us they take Jawan Taylor. So just prepare yourself mentally for that to happen in tonight's draft. We got this state in football history, the Roland Reese roll around the NFL as we continue along. Mike DiRocco, Tony Smith here with you. We're not done talking draft and trying to get into it, figure out what the Jags are going to be doing with it. But this state, Roland Reese roll around the NFL on the other side right here on 1010XL.
Now, Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
Yeah, I think I just blew D-Rock's mind there on the break. We were talking tight ends on the break, and I saw this. I think it was on NFL Network.
So you didn't dig the stat.
No, I didn't dig
it's
the
still
stat.
Still a hell of a stat.
It's a heck of a stat with people talking about TJ Hockenson and what he may be able to do coming in and impacting the passing game for the Jags as a rookie if they were to draft him. And I saw the stat the other day. There's one tight end in football that has caught six or more touchdowns each of the last three seasons.
Yeah, I get credit because I knew it wasn't Gronk, Kelce, or Ertz.
You knew it wasn't one of the big three guys, right? It's Cameron Brate.
Yeah, that was just like not who I expected.
No, it's Cameron Brate, the only tight end in the NFL that has caught six or more touchdowns each of the last three seasons. Look, the tight end, it may be becoming more of a focal point of a lot of offenses in the league, but it's not a focal point of NFL offense, if that makes sense.
The only place you could argue that it is would be New England.
Yeah.
Well, it was. Not is, because he's gone now. But yeah, when he was healthy, that offense ran through Rob Gronkowski.
Absolutely. And we'll see.
But that's it.
Yeah, we'll see what that Patriots offense looks like without Rob Gronkowski.
Right.
You know, like, what are they going to have to adjust? Because what they've been fantastic at is whatever we need to be,
They morph.
Right? And I think having a guy as flexible as Gronkowski has helped them do that over the years when he's been healthy enough. And
maybe they'll run it through Austin Seferian Jenkins.
I highly doubt it. This date in football history. On this date in 1974, the NFL moved the goalposts from the goal line to the back of the end zone. It was also on this date the NFL adopted a sudden death playoff for regular season NFL games. Happy 65th birthday to NFL broadcaster Randy Cross. Cross was selected to 3 Pro Bowls as an offensive guard during his playing career with the 49ers, was a member of 2 Super Bowl winning teams with San Fran in the 1980s. Happy 50th birthday to current ESPN NFL analyst Darren Woodson. Woodson was an accomplished football player as well as a broadcaster, being selected to 5 Pro Bowls, chosen as a first-team All-Pro at safety 3 times during his career with the Dallas Cowboys. Woodson was a second-round pick of the Cowboys in 1992, a member of 3 Super Bowl winning teams with Dallas in the 90s, and has been inducted into the Cowboys Ring of Honor. Happy 36th birthday to former Carolina Panthers first round pick running back D'Angelo Williams. Williams spent the first 9 years of his career with Carolina before spending the final 2 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Happy 25th birthday to now former Jacksonville Jaguars offensive tackle Eric Flowers. Flowers played in 8 games, starting 7 for the Jags last season. Signed a 1-year free agent deal with Washington. He was selected 9th overall by the Giants in 2015. Another reminder, there is no such thing as a sure thing when it comes to the NFL draft, even in the top 10, certainly. And speaking of first-round offensive tackles picked by other teams in Jacksonville, happy 27th birthday to Cedric Obuehi. Obuehi was a first-round pick, 21st overall, by the Cincinnati Bengals in that same draft where Eric Flowers was selected in the first round by the New York Giants back in 2015.
Bad day to be an offensive tackle born on April 25th.
Apparently, and that is this date in football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing, where quality and experience count.
The district attorney's office in Kansas that was handling the case involving Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill, his fiancée, and their 3-year-old son who was injured, has decided that they will not be filing any charges in the case. District attorney Stephen M. Howe, when announcing yesterday that no charges would be filed, said that he believes a crime occurred, but that they couldn't find enough evidence to determine who committed a crime. Howe wasn't willing to go into any details about the case because there's still a child welfare case that is being looked into right now with that 3-year-old who was removed from the parents' custody a couple weeks ago, I think. Yeah. That
story
came out.
Did you see the clip? The video clip from that thing?
No.
That was an angry DA, boy.
I'm sure
he was really, really angry that he couldn't file charges.
Yeah. Hopefully better things for that child.
Yeah, you would hope that they could, well, you would think DCF or whatever it is in, you know, Kansas City will be all over that.
Sure. We'll see, and we'll see if the NFL steps in now, even with no charges being filed. That doesn't mean the NFL won't flex a little bit when it comes to some kind of punishment for Tyreek Hill, but that's all to be seen. Of course, Kansas City coming to Jacksonville week 1. So we'll see if Tyreek Hill is going to be available to the Kansas City Chiefs at that time. That seems very unimportant, though, when there's a child's welfare at stake in that particular case. Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers got a deal done yesterday on a 2-year extension for the quarterback for $68 million with $37.5 million in the signing bonus. The new deal likely ensures that Roethlisberger will spend his entire career with Pittsburgh. He will make $80 million over the next 3 seasons with $67.5 million guaranteed over that time. Ben was set to enter the final year of his contract. Free agent pass rusher Ezekiel Ansah had a visit with the Baltimore Ravens yesterday. Ansah underwent shoulder surgery in December and is expected to be able to return sometime in August. And Kelly Stafford, Matthew's wife, returned to the hospital yesterday because of pain she was dealing with following surgery to remove a brain tumor. Kelly shared what was happening on Instagram, saying that she tried to power through the pain of coming down off of her pain medications and steroids, but that it became too much. She went back to the hospital, so hopefully everything okay with the Stafford family up there. I know there was a story that the Lions basically told Matt, take what time you need, you know, to get your family in order. He was in the building on Monday,
right,
for the start of their offseason program. Not sure. I'm pretty sure he's probably with his wife.
I would hope so.
As of the end
point
of this week,
yeah,
as they're dealing with a pretty serious situation up there. But best of luck to them. The Stafford family up there in Detroit. And, of course, there are about 1 billion draft rumors all over the place right now. believe what you want to believe about
what about
what anybody's going to do. And the whole Oakland thing, sending their scouts home, has left a lot of people wanting, like, some people saying, well, does that mean Josh Jacobs? We know the Raiders like Josh Jacobs. And I'm like, Josh Jacobs is four. You know, like, I get that they like him.
That, it, by the way, that's, those guys are not going to be back with the team. That there's going to be a huge shakeup in their scouting department, which is why you sent them home.
They're moving to Vegas.
Right. I mean, and that's normal. You know, that the scouts don't get fired like when new coaching staffs come in. They get fired after the draft.
Yeah. It was interesting. I know Daniel Jeremiah, who has worked as an NFL scout, like he's done that part of the job before. And he was like, yeah, it's really not all that unusual.
Right.
For us to get sent home. Like I can understand it too. If you're the decision makers, these guys have scouted their guys. Right, and you fall in love with your guy. You scouted X players, right? And it's like, this is the guy.
We got to take this guy.
Right, they're tired of you sitting in the room vouching for your guy. It's like, look, we'll bring you back for the draft. And when there's a discussion to be had about a position or a player, we'll bring you back in and you can pitch in that 5 minutes what you would like for us to do. But today, I need a vacation from you, buddy.
Right.
Like, you're not making the call.
And those guys don't know who the picks are.
No.
They don't, like, they don't know. There is, I guarantee you, there's less than five people in this building, in the football side of things, that know exactly who they will pick at seven, if based on which whatever scenario unfolds.
Yeah, they know what the board looks like.
Right, they know what the board looks like, yeah. Less than five.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that Chad has seen it yet either. That's usually, I mean, he's in town for today. I don't know when they usually tell him. Might be today. But I think Doug knows. I think Dave knows. I think Tom knows. And there may be one or two other guys, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. And it would be, you know, if you're Chad, if you wanted to see it, you could see it. Like,
well, yeah.
You know, it's.
Can I see the board?
Yeah. It's one of those, if he wants to know, he's allowed to know. Not that he's going to be in there giving
it. It is my board, actually. Yeah. Literally, it is my board.
Yeah, it's not a Jerry Jones situation where he's the one writing the board. Necessarily right. But if he wants access to it, I can't imagine his employees denying
that. That's my marker, by the way. I paid for the marker and the board. Yeah. I'd like to see what's on
it. Any of that. It's right across. It's on the other side of this wall. The draft room's right on the other side of this wall that you're staring at as we go
through. Is it really?
Show. Yeah.
Right near Jaguar Jesus.
Yeah,
apparently.
There's a, if you go around the corner, there's the little half kitchen.
Yeah.
That's in there. The door right there, draft room. Jaguars personnel only. It's right there.
Yeah, I never go that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always go the other way.
I don't know what's on the other side of it.
You guys have drilled a bunch of holes and put some mics in there. I know you have. We got to give it a shot at least, right?
Know, we joked around about doing that when the room was going through all the construction before they built this whole nice new studio when you would come in and the roof was leaking constantly. Like there were all kinds of chaos in this room. We're like, would they even notice? Like if we drilled a hole right there.
Just put one little tiny cam.
Pen microphone. Right. And we decided it's not worth it. I'm not a journalist. I'm a radio host.
I wish you'd have called me because I'd have given it a shot.
Right,
it would have been, you know.
I'm not looking to break any stories. I don't need to know. Like I'm happy with whatever information that I am given.
You only turn it on draft night. That would be just awesome.
Oh,
that would be like to actually like unfiltered. But look, maybe if some fan offered the Jags enough,
sure,
they could get in there like the Niners sold two seats in the draft room.
Sure, like I think following a team and actually being able to follow a team through one draft process, like the entire thing, be able to have access to the scouts, have access to the general manager, whoever is making the decision on these players, to just be involved. In that to be a fly on the wall for that process one time as just a fan of the game because it is such a giant event. I mean, it's going to be on three networks tonight. It's going to be on ABC and ESPN and NFL Network. All three are going to have live coverage of the NFL draft, right? Like, it is a massive deal. I heard them talking about the television ratings this morning. It gets better ratings than basically all the other major playoffs up until the World Series and the NBA Finals. Like, it outdraws the NBA playoffs and Major League playoffs leading up to the World Series. It is a massive event. And even if you aren't sitting down to watch the whole 4 hours, you're likely making time to be in front of the TV if you can when your team is picking.
Right.
Right? Like, I imagine the TVs are going to be on tonight about 8:15 in Jacksonville what's going on.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. And that's the thing. You know, people might be surprised by that, but the bottom line is, look, it's if you're not a fan – you know, it's probably not going to draw. The World Series may not draw in the casual baseball fan, But the NFL draft will draw on the casual NFL fan, especially because you're dealing with every single team. Well, except for the Browns, who don't have a first-round pick.
Browns feel pretty good anyway. If I was a Browns fan, I'd just watch to celebrate, you know, the feeling. It's like, oh, they're going to talk about how great we are. At some point, it's like, here's Pittsburgh. They need to find a way to keep up with Cleveland. Yes!
I don't think that will be said.
I think it might.
You know what? If you made me pick the division right now,
I was about to say, I think I might.
I probably would pick the Browns. I wouldn't feel great about it because I saw something. Yeah,
I think you could get a lot of like NFL experts that would go, look, they lose Bell. They lose Brown. They got so much they got to replace. Baker Mayfield has Odell Beckham now. Like, Jarvis Landry's over there. They got Nick Chubb. Like, I think there are a lot of people that even during the draft, and it'll be like, this Cleveland team. Like, there's been enough hype about them that I wouldn't be surprised at all if when Pittsburgh's having to make a pick, they're sitting there like, this Cleveland team.
Really? Got to keep up with the Browns. Yeah. Has never been said before.
Watch out.
At least not since Bernie. Anyway.
Watch out for the Brownies. We'll continue our draft talk. Get into, again, I think it is an interesting conversation about the value of tight end. And in the end, the discussion that could be happening in this room that is right on the other side of this wall, when the Jags are put on the board and those premier defensive linemen have come off, what do you do? Because I do think it complicates the decision in a bunch of different ways, trying to figure out what they're going to do and what they like. So we'll continue to dig into that as we roll along. Mike DiRocco, Tony Smith here with you on Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Hey, what's happening? This is Hall of Famer Brian Dawkins, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Tony Smith, Mike DiRocco here with you. I don't know if you saw, I took a, I usually put together a plan for the show here on the sheet, D-Rock.
Uh-huh.
And when I was filling in early, I didn't have, like, virtually any of these notes. I just had draft, like, written. and I took
Attaboy.
I took a picture of it. And put it out on Twitter, like, today's show plan, just draft, right? And so we did have one listener that responded with tomorrow's show plan, and he just wrote Ed Oliver in big block letters.
That's good.
For the first three segments. I think that's his way of answering the fan feedback question today, asking you what do you think is going to happen with the seventh pick tonight. I even put the added caveat in there that assuming they're picking seventh, assuming they can't move,
right.
They don't move up. They don't move down. They pick seventh in tonight's draft. What do you think is going to happen? Not what you want to see happen. We went through that yesterday. I allowed you to pitch your idea for what you wanted at seven yesterday. Today is about what you think they're going to do with the seventh overall pick. And we're getting a lot of responses, as you'd expect, of it don't matter. They're screwed up. Whatever they do, it's going to be wrong. Like, we're getting a lot of that.
Probably a reason for fans to feel that way.
I get it. There's enough evidence to not, you know, just berate fans for feeling that way, at least, as we get ready for tonight's draft. And then we got some serious answers, and we'll get to some of those here in about 20 minutes or so. But let's talk about, for tonight, their number seven best and worst case scenario.
Realistic best and worst. Realistic.
Realistic best and worst case
scenario. Because Nick Bosa is not sliding to seven.
Correct.
Quinnen Williams isn't sliding to seven. I would think the best case scenario for them would be Atlanta's at 14 or Washington's at 15, and they make the deal to come up. They're able to pick up maybe, you know, I don't have the sheet in front of me in terms of what the value is, but it's going to cost at least a second, maybe another third this year, maybe a second round next year or something. I mean, it's going to cost the Falcons or the Redskins a significant amount of money to move up that high. But I think that would be the best case scenario. And then at 14, 15, that's your wheelhouse for maybe one of the offensive tackles or maybe Noah Fant if you're willing to grab him that high because Hockenson probably won't be there. That would probably be their best case scenario.
If you have three or four offensive tackles bunched up, likely one of those guys will still be available there at 14. No guarantee.
No,
right.
Not
when
at
you're
all.
Moving down that far, and I think my best case is similar to that, and it doesn't even necessarily mean that the Jags have to be the trade partner. I think any scenario in which two quarterbacks go before the Jags is a good one for the Jags. Like, it's just finding some way to get two quarterbacks off the board before the Jags pick. And a combination of two quarterbacks and Devin White being selected by Tampa Right? Like this, like if those things can happen, and I don't think it's the most likely scenario right now, not the way people are talking about it, because it does feel like the Giants are likely going to wait on quarterback there at for 17. Now, from a Giants perspective, whether that's the right or wrong decision, the way Gettleman's talked about, look, he was willing to pass on quarterbacks last year in a draft where everyone was talking so much more highly of that entire group of guys, and he had his pick of the number two of that group. He could add Sam Darnold.
Yep.
And he stuck to his board and said, we got a higher grade on Saquon Barkley. That's what we're doing. I can't imagine that the New York Giants have a higher grade on the second or third quarterback, right? I can't imagine they have a higher grade on that than they do on these defensive linemen. Can't imagine it.
No, I wouldn't think so, but who the hell knows with that organization?
Can't be sure, but do I think they're like, I think it's unlikely they have a higher grade based on what we've heard people say about Dwayne Haskins than they do Josh Allen. Yes. I just don't think they will. And if they're put in that situation, I think the New York Giants are going to take the defensive lineman. I do, because he's going to be the higher graded guy. And if they were willing to do it with Saquon Barkley last year, and I'm not saying Saquon isn't a great player, but he's a running back that they were willing to take when they had an opportunity to go get one of three or four quarterbacks that were very highly regarded, and they chose to go running back. I can't imagine a year later that they're not willing to do the same thing. So I would assume the Giants are going to go defensive line.
Yeah. The wild card to me, too, is Oakland at four, because that I've seen a bunch of different scenarios, you know. Well, I think Todd McShay has Ed Oliver there. But, you know, what about Josh Allen?
Yeah.
They're trying to – I mean, there's different stuff that could happen there. But either way
– Ed Oliver seems to be the guy that's getting thrown in there a lot
right.
more
but
recently.
That's a wild – to me, the Raiders are the wild card there in that whole thing, because I think that would help. If Ed Oliver's at five, I don't know that well, maybe the Bucs do take him at five. But, yeah, I mean, there's just so many. If the two quarterbacks go, it does help them for sure, because that's going to guarantee them pretty much one of those guys.
Well, and I think, honestly, if you were to ask me, I think it's more likely the Jags could find a trade partner at seven if Ed Oliver was still available than any of the quarterbacks. I do. I think that brings a team like Atlanta into play on it.
Right.
I think you'd have more people that are willing to vie for that spot if one of these defensive linemen, these pass rushers, was still there when the Jags are picking at seven. I also think
if Ed Oliver were there at seven and they traded out, I think they would. That's a bad move.
I do too. But I do think that the good scenario for the Jags is one of these premier defensive linemen just somehow being available at seven. And for that to happen, you likely need two quarterbacks and Devin White. Like, that's likely what you need, is two quarterbacks and Devin White to come off the board, because it certainly doesn't sound like any of these teams ahead of the Jags are looking offensive line. Not with the prospects that we're talking about here. So, likely, it would have to be either the Giants or another one of these teams that gets antsy about what the Giants are going to do, moving back in, and going after one of these quarterbacks, and Tampa taking Devin White. Because if Tampa goes defensive line, who cares if two quarterbacks came off? You're in the same situation you were in, because you're still getting those four defensive linemen gone.
I'm hoping for chaos and that the Cardinals don't take Kyler Murray, because then all hell breaks loose at that point. Because there are going to be a bunch of teams that liked Kyler Murray, or several teams that like Kyler Murray, and now they're going to start thinking, oh, we got to go up and get him. And that could toss everything out of whack in the top five, just depending on if someone is willing to make the move to go up.
Other side. Worst case scenario for the Jags at seven.
Worst case scenario for the Jags at seven is they take the quarterback, which you could make an argument for. For me, like,
you think that's worse than Rashawn Gary?
Because
I think the questions it brings on are worse.
Yeah, and at least you know that you're going to play Rashawn Gary this year. Whether he gives you anything or not, at least you know that kid's getting on the field.
Mm-hmm.
If you're drafting a quarterback at seven, although the argument is there to be made that, hey, look, grab the guy if you really like him. If Haskins is there at sevens and you think he can be a franchise guy, get him. Then you have him under cost control for 5 years.
Sure.
And, you know, probably not going to have Foles for the next 5 years. You know, maybe that's the smart thing to do. But then you have no impact on your first round pick for the second year in a row. to me, that's the worst case scenario for them, that they grab the quarterback. Maybe that turns into the best case scenario 5 years from now when he's, you know, throwing for 3,800 yards, 4,500 yards, and 27 touchdowns and two picks. You know, who knows? But I would think, at least with Gary, you're going to get something out of him, theoretically. I mean, they got something out of Taven Bryan once they put him back at three tech. But, you know, with the quarterback, he's not going to see the field for two. Because if he does, you blew the free agency signing.
Oh, sure. That's why they wouldn't do it.
Right, yeah. But that's what I'm saying, worst case scenario.
Yeah, that's why they wouldn't do it. But again, I'm not the guy who made the decision to sign Nick Foles. So me saying I'd draft Dwayne Haskins, right, because I may not be a believer in Nick Foles, but the guys who signed Nick Foles are believers in Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. I think it brings a bunch of questions into play that it they does. Won't bring into question.
Yeah, and that, like, the chances of that happening are like 0.01%. But, like, I really can't think of anything.
Okay, let me ask you this.
That would be, like, terrible, right. Worst case.
Let's ask it this way, then. We all feel like there are these four kind of defensive linemen that are the premier guys, right? I think Ed Oliver is in that discussion now with those other three guys.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it plays out the way that everybody seems to be having it mocked, basically, right now, which is those four defensive linemen are off the board. Kyler Murray goes one. Devin White goes five to Tampa Bay. So it's Kyler Murray and those five defensive players come off the board. Are the Jags in a good spot at seven? With the options that we expect to be available to the Jacksonville Jaguars at seven, are they in a good spot?
They're not in a great spot. It's okay. But if you feel like Hawkins, like we've talked about how I do like TJ Hawkins.
Sure.
So, I mean, I would say that would be a decent spot because I want to take TJ Hawkins. But if you were looking at it logically, no, they're probably not in a great spot. There's going to be... The defensive guys would be – the defensive linemen would be the ideal pick, I would think, in their mind. If one of those defensive guys came, fell down to him, obviously, like we talked about. But reaching for a receiver there?
That might be
worse than the quarterback,
I
maybe.
Think that might be more frustrating to me than a quarterback. There are some I've seen it from different outlets today that they expect DK Metcalf to fall out of the first round. Like, that's what some of the talk is today. Now, again, only one team has to fall in love with a guy for all this to change. And, again, take all the information however you want. You know, like, choose to take whatever seriously you want to. Clearly, a lot of people do because there's this, you know, vehement defense of TJ Hawkinson as the pick. And then there's this vehement, why the heck would you take a tight end at number seven?
There seems to be no middle of the road on that either, by the
right.
way.
Right. it's one or the other. I am kind of middle of the road on it. Like, I wouldn't be upset if the Jags took TJ Hawkinson. Wouldn't be upset at all. I don't think it's likely with Tom Coughlin being one of the decision makers for them to go tight end at seven when, as I put it to you on the break, likely the Jags would have their pick of any offensive lineman they want in this draft at number seven. Like, I don't see a likely scenario where they don't have their pick of the litter on the offensive line, even if you think the offensive line group is average. Big guys are hard to find. And on next Wednesday, one of the first calls we're going to get is going to be somebody saying, what about offensive line depth? Well, they took TJ Hawkinson. You know, like, that it's...
But they could grab an offensive line.
No, they could, absolutely can. Like, there's going to be... a whole six rounds after whatever the heck they do tonight. Like, there's a lot of space still for them to address a bunch of these issues. But there is something to, where do you think offensive line depth comes from? You think it comes from the fifth and sixth round of the NFL draft?
No.
Generally speaking, it comes from nailing picks when you have the opportunity to make them. And the Jags, from an offensive line perspective, however you feel about the prospects, are in a position to take the best one in a draft. Because there's a bunch of defensive linemen that are going to go ahead of him. I just find it hard to believe that Tom Coughlin's going to pass up on that opportunity when everything is said and done.
That is the most logical take on it. But what we talked about before, and I don't know if it was on the break or not, I can't really remember. We don't know. When we look at tight ends, we don't factor in the valuation of their run blocking.
No.
And we look at it almost from a fantasy football perspective. if T.J. Hockenson catches 35, 40 balls next year for four touchdowns, people are probably going to be disappointed in that. But if he makes the impact in the run game that helps Leonard rush for 1,300 yards and he's on the right-hand side and he helps you maybe with the weakest spot in your line if you don't get that elite offensive tackle, which who knows if those guys are going to be elite anyway, then that's a good pick. And we tend to forget the valuation of being a blocker as a tight end, and he's regarded as the best one in the draft. So you could make the argument from a Tom Coughlin that's like, I'm going to get a little bit of both, and he helps me on the offensive line as well. So you could make that argument, but again, I am with you. I don't think they'll do it.
I don't think so either, and there'll be a lot of people that are going to hear what I've been saying about T.J. Hockenson this whole time, however they want to hear it. I'm not against T.J. Hockenson at seven. I am questioning the value of a tight end at seven in the draft, but I wouldn't be upset if they took Hockenson.
If you ask NFL teams, NFL GMs, personnel, whatever, how do you build your team? If you're building a team from scratch, what do you build?
Quarterback, pass rush, offensive line.
That is it. Well, offensive tackle, more so than anything
sure.
else. And then you could argue where corner, maybe you could argue corner in there a little bit, but the rules, the way the NFL is now geared towards the passing game, if you can have the shutdown corner, maybe that's,
it's in there.
Yeah, you could argue that even over maybe offensive tackle. Just depends on how you want to do it. But it's definitely quarterback, pass rusher, and pretty much offensive line. If you're going to ask where that tight end is and that building that, that's going to be probably in the bottom two or three.
I would guess.
I would expect them not to take it either. And we know Coughlin's a line guy. I mean, you build from the interior out. And you know, that's not meaning that he's different from every other coach, but he's shown that that's kind of what he likes to do.
No, he absolutely has. Yeah. And again, we are just hours away from finding out what they're going to do. We're basically 9 hours away from knowing what the Jags did.
Enough time for me to get a good nap in.
It is. It is. We'll get to some of your answers on the fan feedback spotlight out there. What are the Jags going to do with the seventh pick tonight? We got answers all over the board, so we'll get to that, as well as lock in our picks for what we think will happen at number seven overall for the Jags as we wrap things up here in just a few moments here on 1010XL.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at TIAA Bank Field, this is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Tony Smith, Mike DiRocco here with you. We'll lock in whatever stupidity we're going to decide the Jags are going to do tonight before we get done with this segment. Whatever. Like, don't take our picks to Vegas, guys. Don't take anybody's picks to Vegas, honestly,
no,
with this kind
not
of thing.
This stuff. Hell no.
No. You got to be nuts. Like, what kind of degenerate you got to be gambling on the NFL draft?
Well, D-Rock said, yeah, well, that's not going to do
very well.
Darn it, D-Rock.
There goes the mortgage. You told me, T.J. Hockenson. I told you he was my favorite player. You have to listen to everything I have to say.
That is my favorite thing about people. They read what they want to read and hear what they want to hear instead of what was actually written and or actually said.
Although you should take full credit if anyone is able to buy a new house based on your T.J. Hockenson pick.
Yeah, I want a little bit of cut of that.
Let's get out to the phone lines at 641-1010. Gary has called in and wants to answer our question of the day. What's going to happen with the Jags pick tonight at 7, Gary?
Hey, I would say Jonah Williams is my pick. Tony? Mike,
yes.
To me, you guys are my favorite local guys. I think you have a great chemistry between you guys, and you do a great job.
Appreciate it, Gary.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I heard that Adam Schefter said that had there been a first-round pick, he would have got by now. The three teams that inquired about him, so I guess they're offering nothing more than second, were Miami, San Diego, and Giants. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the draft.
Thank you very much. Look, if I were the New York Giants and I weren't taking a quarterback at six, and say the quarterback that you liked came off the board before you were picking 17, I would happily give up the 17th pick for Josh Rosen.
Right.
If I was the New York Giants.
And you might even be able to get away with less than that.
Yeah. Assuming Kyler Murray's the first
pick. Right. If Kyler Murray's the first pick, like the Cardinals have to trade Rosen. The most they'll get for Rosen is now, before the draft. Once they pick Kyler Murray, then teams are going to go, I'm not giving you a whole lot. You're stuck with that. I mean, I like him, but I'm not going to mortgage the thing. And by the way, I think he thinks I'm Mike Dempsey. So I was like, really, I was like, oh, it's a nice thing to say. And then I was like, oh, he thinks I'm Dempsey.
Yeah, we need to change one of y'all's names. When y'all are in here doing the show, especially when y'all are both together, which may or may not happen.
Yeah, I don't know if that's ever going to happen again.
Ever again. Like, you walked in this morning.
I don't know why I didn't even think that Mike
would be. We've been giving you a hard time. You sat in there with Prosser on the drill of about a month ago now, and you brought him breakfast. And so we walked in, and we saw donuts in the room. We were like, what is this?
Got pissy, is what you did.
What is this? Donuts?
That's
you brought
crazy,
Prosser donuts?
Man.
They were munchkins,
yeah,
first of all.
You didn't bring us anything, ever.
That's crazy.
No, but I told you I had something. Yeah, Emmanuel, you're messed up because this is all Tony's fault because I didn't know we were going to be in the stadium today.
Yeah.
So
I got a dozen cookies. And
wow, what kind of cookies?
The M&M chocolate chips.
Tragic, man.
And these are some legit cupcakes here. Yeah. There's like some cookie cream cupcakes and something else. These are like not 50 cent cupcakes.
No, these are legit.
Man, this is
absolutely
crazy.
And I bought four so that it would be one for Mike, Tony, and you, and there would be an extra one that maybe I would eat. And then now there's all four for Tony. So
it's a little disrespectful.
Yeah,
I got you next week. Don't worry. I'll bring you a cupcake and only you a cupcake next week, and that won't be awkward or creepy or weird in any way.
And
it don't
maybe
matter.
You and Dempsey can reestablish your friendship.
Oh, Demps. I got to get one for Demps, too. Shoot.
Stay in the studio. I assume y'all will both be in studio together next week.
Who knows?
For the first
maybe
time.
Maybe he'll
for the first time
be gallivanting on assignment.
He could be. Let's get into the fan feedback spotlight. As we're asking fans today, I know it's a real genius question. I racked my brain to figure out what could we ask today for on the day of the NFL draft and decided, hey, what do the Jags do at 7? As my brilliant
took
question.
Took you a while to come up with
yeah,
that,
it did.
Sure.
It did. I put a lot of thought in this one. I hope you put a lot of thought into your responses because it's not like you haven't been thinking about it for 3 months now. What are the Jags going to do with the 7th overall pick? From John, we got Jonah Williams. Him and Cam will anchor the line for years, in my opinion, and I think Coughlin, as much as I wish he wasn't making the pick, will love him. From Couch, we got Jawan Taylor, just because that's who folks seem to not want the most right now. From Jason, why does everyone still think Jawan Taylor is a top 10 pick? Oh, wait, we're Jaguars fans, so we're used to first-round disappointment overall. In the end, they get Nick as tight end with TJ Hawkinson as the pick. From Pete, got to be a tight end. We have gotten a lot of depth in the offseason with the offensive line, so a pass-catching tight end is the pick at 7. Have they gotten a lot of depth on the offensive line this offseason that I missed? They brought in a couple right tackles.
A boy.
Every time.
I told you.
Last
every
week
time,
you almost had it.
I almost had it. Said, they brought in Said, re-signed Josh Wells and Tyler Shatley.
Don't feel bad. There was one of the Jaguars guys that came in the room yesterday. They were bringing a boy he in to talk to Hayes, like after our show was done yesterday. And I won't say who, but one of
you're going to tell me off the air, though.
One of the Jaguars guys came in and just butchered it.
Blew it all to hell.
Like you can see people get so nervous when they have to say Cedric Abuehi.
Abuehi. You know, if they didn't have A.J. Boye, I might be able to do it, but I just get halfway through, and then I'm all of a sudden he's a corner.
All of a sudden,
you know,
it's too much.
It's
for
bad.
You.
It's bad.
From Suxinville, I wonder how he feels about the team right now. Ed Oliver, if he's there, if no elite defensive player is there, Jonah Williams from Cobalt Blue. We know what O'Shaughnessy and Swaim can do. We don't know what Richardson can do. Talking about Will Richardson, we know Smoot isn't an answer. Therefore, tackle or edge. And he said one of these five, and he listed Josh Allen, Montez Sweat, Brian Burns, Jonah Williams, Andre Dillard along the offensive line. His final guess is Jonah Williams. From Jag fan, Montez Sweat with a question mark, and from Teal Tomahawk, still on the train, Dwayne Haskins. That's a lonely train, buddy. I do not see any scenario in which the Jaguars actually go with Dwayne Haskins with the number 7 overall pick. Although I, like you, I'd be fine with it, like, that would still be the call that I would make if I was the one turning in the card. Zero expectation that that's what the Jacksonville Jaguars will do with the 7th pick tonight. And I would love to just watch the panic tomorrow with people on both sides of that one if that war what is what they want
There's
to
a
do.
Part of me that wants them to take somebody that nobody's mentioned just to watch Twitter explode.
I don't even know
and
who
social
that could
media
be.
Explode.
Like Hollywood Brown?
That. who wouldn't probably be a bad player. I really like that kid, but at seven, who was it? DK Metcalf. Maybe they take DK Metcalf.
I'd rather have Hollywood Brown.
Well, there's part of me that wants, bit that wants to watch the world burn a little bit tonight.
Yeah, I've heard fans, at least some, that want TJ Hockenson or want DK Metcalf to the Jags at seven. I haven't heard anyone talking about Brown to the Jags at seven. Yeah, I think that one would be the most out of left field for a lot of fans. It's not going to happen.
No. That's why it's not, but it would be hilarious.
Oh, that would be, yeah. No,
look, I've talked to some of the other writers at ESPN. We were just up there for meetings, and I talked to a few of them about some of this stuff. And I asked, like, hey, is your fan base pretty crazy on Twitter? And they all are to a degree. Mm-hmm. But when I just got the feel from talking to some of those writers, my colleagues up there, that nobody melts down as good as Jags fans melt down on Twitter.
This is what we got.
And I'm not saying that in a bad way. It's actually kind of like a little bit of a badge of honor. I mean,
sure.
Look, I've been on the wrong side of Jaguars Twitter, and it is not a fun place to be. But it is entertaining when the meltdown occurs.
It can be a very, very special place. Let's say hello to the boys of XL Primetime.
Now, the 2-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Planning your Cinco party? Order Moe's Catering for your Cinco party and score a $5 gift card for everyone in your party. Order online at moescateringfl.com.
All right, as we say hello to Hacker, the boys of XL Primetime coming up next following us. And, Hack, lock it in. 7th pick. Who is it?
Yeah, Tony, we've done a lot of this for the last 116 days. Not that I'm keeping track since the season ended, but I'm going to go TJ Hockenson, although I think everybody and their brother is going TJ Hockenson right now, which leads me to believe they'll go in a different direction, but it just makes too much sense. And the one caveat I'll put on it, I like Hockenson unless for some reason Josh Allen from Kentucky or Quinnen Williams from Alabama fall. If one of those two is there at seven, that would totally make me rethink my train of thought.
All right, Hack, what do you guys got coming up on XL Primetime as we get ready for the first round tonight?
Well, Tony, we got a list of 6 guys. We got TJ Hockenson, Jawan Taylor, Jonah Williams, Ed Oliver, Quinnen Williams, and Josh Allen. We're going to do a pro and a con for each. A good reason for the Jaguars to draft each of them, a bad reason for the Jaguars not to draft each of them. Also, a lot of talk about Dan Mullen, some of his comments about Florida State and Miami doing a little trolling, if you will, the Gator head coach was. But it's going to be a majority of draft as we are, just about 8 hours away from the festivities tonight.
No doubt about it. All right, we'll be listening, Hack, as XL Primetime coming up next with Hacker Joe C., Leon Searcy, and Matt Hayes here on 1010XL. And as we wrap things up, DeRocco, we'll lock in our picks. I did want to say he talks about everybody and their brother taking TJ Hockenson. And in my head, I go, well, I have that Oliver, but my brother has TJ Hockenson. that kind of thing. But here we are. This is it.
Yeah.
This is it. Let the people know. Number 7.
Sweat with the mock draft, and I'm going to stick with it. It's probably the wrong one, but I'm going to stick with it.
See, now, I kind of like that, though. You know, on ESPN, your official pick is Montez Sweat.
Correct.
That's your pick.
That was what it was.
Yeah. Even though everyone feels like, well, he may be going 25 now in the draft.
Yeah, but again, the one thing I'll say about that is, and I've been consistent with this, do not believe anything you dang hear, read, or see for the most part that gets out about teams the month before the draft. So,
correct.
Probably wrong, but you know what? I just didn't like the pick of a tackle at 7, and I don't think they're going to do it with the tight end, even though that's who I would go with. So I figure they need help at pass rush, and that's probably the best place to get it at that point.
You box me in. I think if any of those defensive linemen are there, Ed Oliver, Josh Allen, I think would be the pick. And for me, it's in that order, Ed Oliver, then Josh Allen, if they had the choice between those two. I don't think either of them are going to be there.
Right.
I think the pick is Jonah Williams.
There we go.
I think the pick is Jonah Williams tonight at 7, and I will be talking about it for 4 more hours this afternoon from 3 to 7 on the Frangie Show. D-Rock, where can they catch up with you as we go through the draft process?
At ESPN DeRocco, for sure. We'll have an instant analysis of all the picks. We will also do a wrap-up every day, so you can yell at me and scream at me on Twitter, obviously, as well. But it's going to be fun. It's always a great like the first round for me is always the most fun.
Mm-hmm.
Of the non-game days, this is the most fun thing to do. You spend months not knowing a damn thing, and then in 2 seconds you know everything.
Yeah, and you put all the pieces together.
Exactly. It's a lot of fun. It's one of my favorite days.
Yep, and all 32 teams tonight, everyone got better. when we get done tonight.
Just once I want to hear a GM walk in on Saturday afternoon and go, we just screwed this
what
three ways to Sunday.
Done. Yeah, I doubt you're going to hear any of that over the course of the next few days. All right, D-Rock. We'll be listening, watching. We'll see you again next Thursday and react to an entire draft class. How's that sound?
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds good. That'll do it for us here. XL Primetime coming up next. So for Mike DiRocco, for Mike Dempsey, for Emmanuel Thalarin, for myself, Fat Tony, Tony Smith, I'll be rejoining the Frank Frangie show this afternoon from 3 to 7 as we'll get you set for the draft coverage tonight from 7 to 10 right here on 1010XL. XL Primetime, though, coming up next, continuing our coverage leading up to round one of the NFL draft tonight.
Can't wait.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go. Two more.